We do have Jerry DePoto with us today here on the Venue Kings Hotline. And Jerry, I know it's a really busy day, so I want to say thanks. We really appreciate you joining us. We were just talking about James's game. And man, I think it's the second best start I've ever seen from a Mariners pitcher. Felix's perfect game was pretty phenomenal, but James was just on fire last night.
Oh, I have to tell you, sitting there watching it last night and while it was happening, it may have been the most unique game I've seen in my big league life. And I say that because while I've seen no hitters, I've never had the fortune of seeing a perfect game live, but I've seen no hitters. I've seen strikeout games up to 18, but I've never seen a major league pitcher go out there and just blowing his fastball by major league hitters like that. To get that many swings and misses repeatedly on the same pitch, just standing on a fastball, was really impressive. And it looked like overpowering dominance. And to not win that game was very hurtful, but Pax could not have been any better. And truly, it was one of the more remarkable performances I've seen.
Yeah, that really was so disappointing. But, Jerry, you're a pitcher yourself, and we were talking about for athletes when you get in a zone like that. And do you think there was any thought of maybe letting him go a little bit more there just because he was so into it?
First, I'll say I really appreciate you using pitchers and athletes in the same sentence. The answer to the question was yes, but as you may know, the seventh inning, he did throw 25 pitches in the seventh inning. He got himself up to that triple digit pitch count. And while Pax generally is good for another 15 or 20, the 25 pitch, two runners on, the stress in the seventh inning, it made sense to get him out of there at that moment in time. And I think when Pax walked off the field, you could see he tipped his cap or I guess doffed it a little bit and waved to the crowd that were cheering him. And I think he knew in that moment that he was roasted. It's hard to go out there and stand on 96, 98 for seven innings and 100 pitches and keep on rolling. So I think Scott did the right thing. I know James was very proud of his outing, but and we should have been able to bring it on home. Unfortunately, we weren't able to.
Jerry, the news of the day, Ichiro is going to transition out of the playing role that he had, and he's going to be a special assistant to the chairman, helping out in a different role. How did you come to this decision?
Something that we have talked about, or one of the alternatives we have talked about, dating back to when we signed Ichi. So, this is who we always had in mind potential outcomes when and if the time came that he was no longer going to play actively on our roster. So the answer to that question is we've been thinking about this for a couple of months, so to speak, and only when Ben Gamel returned did it become, or when it was apparent to us that Ben was coming back sooner than expected, did it become a necessity to move the speed of the transaction up. So this is something that we had at least one of the options that we had put aside as a potential outcome, and we're just thrilled that Ichiro is staying with the organization. Our priority here, when we brought him in, our intention was to win games, and I feel like in subtle ways that won't be noticeable. I know I've said it on this show before, that won't be noticeable to the casual viewer, so to speak. He has really made a difference for us in the clubhouse. He's made a difference in the way we prepare. The respect that he has and that he holds down in that clubhouse is really unique and well deserved. And we want to make sure that we maintain that connection with Ichiro with this club for 2018. He won't be able to play again this year, but we anticipate that as we move forward, that there'll be other opportunities, most specifically to work with the Mariners for the rest of his baseball life. That's what this was about.
We're talking to Jerry DePoto here on the Venue Kings Hotline. And I know that there wasn't any decision about 2019 or beyond. Could he play elsewhere in 2018, or is his 2018 season done?
His 2018 is done, and that is by his proclamation. He is not retiring, but he has determined that he does not want to play anywhere but with the Mariners. And, that was something that we were all thrilled to hear. And during the course of discussion, he made us aware of how important it was for him and his career journey to come back here to Seattle. And Obviously, we know he's had a Hall of Fame career. He's been one of the great players, really globally, one of the great players in history. And he talked about the fact that his career would be incomplete if it did not end the way it ended, which is coming back to Seattle. And, you know, we have come up with what we think is both a mutually productive and creative way to make sure that his career doesn't come to an end. That, in effect, he's impacting the Mariners on an everyday basis, despite the fact that he can't play in 2018, and we're still leaving the door open as to what might happen in 2019 or beyond.
Now, what about that in 2019, Jerry? Some speculation that Ichiro could play for you when you face Oakland and Japan next March?
I think it's a very real possibility. And, you know, we can't promise that at this stage in the game, it's something that we're open-minded to. And, you know, very rare is that you get an opportunity to be associated with a player that has this kind of gravitas or presence. I said it to Ichi, and I mean it sincerely. I've been around a lot of great players, met just about every great player that's lived in my lifetime and watched them all play, if not played against them. And he has more presence than any player I've ever encountered. There's something about him and what he carries into a room. And we want to maintain that association with this team and as we move forward. And, you know, if that should happen to carry into Tokyo 2019, we've got a couple extra spots on the roster to open the season. And we've certainly not closed the door to the idea that one of them may go that way.
Hey, Jerry, I asked you a little bit about this last week, but, you know, I've never heard Ichiro utter a word. I've never heard him speak. Tell us why you want to keep him around, and what's the best thing about having him around your players, around the clubhouse?
Well, he actually does speak English. And, you know, while there is something of a language barrier, Alan Turner, his interpreter, is terrific, understands the game, has been with Ichiro for a long time. Internally, we have Anthony Suzuki here, who's been with the club for better than 15 years and has really, and he's known Ichiro for much of that time. So we've got a comfort zone in dealing with Ichi, and he communicates baseball just fine. Mm-hmm. And whether it's in a batting cage, it's in the outfield, or it's sitting in the clubhouse talking among teammates. Sometimes it's with an interpreter. Sometimes it's organic and he does just fine. I know he understands the language. And while his speaking skills may not be come as easily to him as Japanese, he does better than you think. And my natural answer to your question is I've watched. We've obviously been playing only a handful of weeks, month and a half, but our first couple of trips, when you see Ichiro take a seat on the plane and he's sitting next to Dee Gordon, and Mitch Haniger swings his legs around from across the aisle and immediately engages. And the guy sitting in front of him leans over the seat and starts the into the conversation. And Ichiro, I don't want to say he's holding court, but those mm-hmm. players are trained on what he's thinking or what he's talking about in that moment, whether it's just the casual conversation or his recall of past encounters on a baseball field, the way he prepares, his regimen. He fascinates most players because of how disciplined he is and his preparation. And, you know, that exposure to greatness is truly invaluable to a team. Now, you very rarely, and I hate to wax on, but I will, you know, Ichiro and his presence, just like Ken Griffey before him or Edgar Martinez, who we get the great fortune to work with every day, you rarely get the chance in baseball in today's time to be exposed to greatness the way the Mariners presently are. And that's, you know, players who achieve that generally tend to fade away, or, you know, they've made their fame, they've made their money, and they take it to the house, so to speak. And our guys haven't done that. They've maintained a relationship with this organization, and Ichiro is next in that great line, and we want to make sure that it carries on because he does have an impact.
That's an awesome visual you give there, Jerry. I appreciate you answering that because, I can definitely see that. And you're right, boy, you got Cano there, you got Cruz there. I mean, you've got a lot of years and a lot of experience and a lot of wisdom to impart on some of the younger guys.
No, you really do, and I hope it's not lost on any of them I know it's not lost on Ichiro. It's not lost on any of the guys downstairs how fortunate we are to have that every day, because it truly is special.
The one thing you guys have run into from a baseball sense this week is a couple of pitching injuries. Dan Altavilla and then Erasmo Ramirez. We've got Wade LeBlanc starting tonight. You called up a reliever today to take Ichiro's spot. How are things standing with your staff right now, Jerry?
You know, obviously a little banged up, especially losing Erasmo, who was just fresh off the DL. And clearly we saw in Erasmo's first two starts that something wasn't quite right. And obviously we found out that that was the case. And we're probably going to be without Erasmo for a considerable amount of time. We don't yet know exactly how long that is, but my suspicion is it'll probably be similar to his most recent layoff while we wait for this strain to truly heal. And we're going to be patient with it because I guess in this league, it matters more how you finish than how you start. So we will be without Erasmo for a while. Dan Altavilla, we think, will be a shorter stay and believe that he will be back in the month of May for sure. Or at least that's what our expectation is. And we're going to have to tap into our depth. You know, we've done it once already with Chase and Bradford, who has done a terrific job for us. We are going to add Eric Goodell this year, who was off to a terrific start in Tacoma and has major league experience. Does it a little bit differently than the guys we have in our bullpen. You know, Eric is 92, 93 with a split finger fastball, which is different than the rest of the group. And sometimes different when you're putting an array of relievers together is a good thing. How we fill in for Erasmo is going to be determined. Now, obviously, Wade LeBlanc gets the call tonight in the first crack. Wade has a ton of experience among our internal options. Wade is by far the most experienced major league starter. And we've seen it up close and personal as recently as the summer of 2016 here with the Mariners. He saved our butts once before. We're hoping he can do it again. you know, the worst case for us with Wade is he takes a couple of starts and allows for Roenis Elias to get stretched out. For Rob Whalen to get another couple of starts under his belt and get into his season. Similarly with Andrew Moore and maybe most importantly, allow Ariel Miranda to perhaps round back into the form that we saw first half of last year. Because frankly, other than what I thought was a competitive start here when we called on him to face the Astros, he's not gotten off to a terrific start, and we need to get him on track because he's important to our depth.
Jerry, you got the Angels coming to town after this game against the A's tonight, and the possibility that Shohei Ohtani will face Felix on Sunday. What's when you think back on the whole Ohtani sweepstakes? Anything? I imagine it was a huge disappointment. Any surprises along the way? Now, I think Ohtani was supposed to be a better pitcher than a hitter, and yet he's hitting over 300 right now for the Angels.
Yeah, I mean, as you guys know, and we were certainly not shy about sharing our interest in Joe A like many other teams weren't, but as we always trusted that the bat was going to be quite good and a terrifically talented player. I selfishly for us, I do hope we get to see him because it's a shame when you don't get to see or face the great player. Everybody wants to play the best teams and face the best players. So, you know, I hope we do get to see him. I hope we don't have to see him time and time again. That would be a little bit more of a pain in the neck, but great player who's off to a great start, and he's fascinated the baseball world for a reason. He's quite a talent.
He is Jerry DePoto. Jerry, we always appreciate you spending the time, and we're really grateful. Kind of you opening up and explaining some of the dynamics with Ichiro has really kind of helped us get an understanding of his sense and his role going forward. So thank you so much for always being so open.
Oh, you got it, Mike. It's my pleasure.
All right, that is Jerry DePoto there. We got the professor, John Clayton. John's joining us next.